Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
It's 8:50 and time for our pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Tuesday morning, everyone. Trade officials released their guesses for USDA's January 2006-07 ending stock estimates yesterday. Of course, the reports are due out on Friday. The estimates from the trade look like this. Corn, 905 billion bushels, or rather million bushels, excuse me. Soybeans, 597 million, and wheat, 458 million bushels. We'll discuss the implications of those numbers in just a few minutes with Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities in Champaign, Illinois. Continued slow packer demand for hogs and a sharp drop in the pork cutout value yesterday are seen as pressuring hog prices today, with calls weak to $1 per hundredweight lower. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $37. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Tuesday, January 9th, negotiated swine purchases were 18,735. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $47.75 to $58.50. The weighted average was $54.92, a loss of $1.82 from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $38.09 to $46.50, the weighted average $44.50. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 13,646. The base price range was $48.75 to $59.99. The weighted average, $54.19, a loss of 12 cents from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $38.89 to $47.47, and the weighted average was $43.74.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Joining us with a look at today's agricultural weather is Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. Well, first off, we'll go down to South America and tell you that the field conditions across both Brazil and Argentina generally in good shape, although there is still a little too much moisture, and that's a concern in center-south crop areas of Brazil. But the second week of a forecast that does go out 2 weeks does note some improvement that should take place. The Bahia and northeastern Minas Gerais regions are still too dry, and showers coming over the next few days will provide some partial relief to that area. Rain will fall in most crop areas of Brazil over the next 4 days, with rain becoming concentrated on northern crop areas late this weekend and early next week. After that, rain will become less frequent, less significant, especially in southern parts of the nation, which does bring on some drying, and that is necessary there. In Argentina, thunderstorms developed yesterday in the south, and again early this morning they saw more thunderstorms. Rainfall totals of almost an inch were reached across a good portion of the region through midnight last night or this morning. Some locations likely over an inch, and additional rain is going to be pushing into the area early today. Precipitation occurred primarily from Buenos Aires with a few thunderstorms in southern Entre Rios and southernmost Santa Fe early this morning. High temperatures yesterday were in the upper 80s in the Buenos Aires region, all the way up to the 90s, and even some low triple-digit temperatures in other Argentinian crop areas. The heat will continue in the northern crop areas today. Additional highs over 100 expected. Extremes may reach 110 degrees in some far northern crop areas. Temperatures will cool somewhat for tomorrow and Friday, but Argentina will continue to experience a warmer-than-usual bias into early next week. As far as some other crop areas that are in the season, let's go to South Africa, and they are looking at conditions that are still a little bit dry. No significant rain fell across the South African crop areas yesterday. Temperatures mild. Isolated showers and thunderstorms are still expected in central and eastern portions of the country for the remainder of this week. Precipitation slowly increasing and coverage with intensity offering greater relief on many areas during the second week of a two-week forecast. The western portion of the maize country will be the driest. Again, some other areas that are in season, we'll take a look at what's going on in Australia. They have started to see a buildup of subtropical moisture in northern Australia, and some of the moisture will drift into the Queensland area for the remainder of the week and during the weekend. Latest computer models suggesting that rain may reach into northeastern New South Wales. Daily rainfall totals will be quite variable, and by early next week, amounts should range from around 2/10 all the way up to 1 inch in some cotton and sorghum areas, and a few locations receiving 1 to 2 inches, with central and southeastern Queensland being the wettest. Now, the second week of a two-week forecast, looking at computer model forecast, runs drier in eastern Australia once again. Showers will continue in some areas, but their coverage and intensity should increase over the next few days. And very quickly, looking at what's going on in the U.S., cool, breezy weather prevails across the eastern portion of the Corn Belt today. Snow showers downwind from the Great Lakes. Fields remained largely unfrozen and unfavorably wet, with more wet weather coming in for the plains. The western states and the wheat areas are looking at more cold air coming in, but they have sufficient snow cover, and that should alleviate any problems for the wheat crop there. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Taking a look at the overnight trade from Tuesday evening, it stacks up like this. In Kansas City, March wheat opening at 472, up a half, last trade up 1 1/4. July, 476, down 1 3/4, last trade down a half. March wheat at the Board of Trade opening 453, unchanged, last trade up a quarter. July, 466, down a quarter, last trade down 1 1/2. March corn, 354, down a half, last trade down, make it up 1 1/4. July, 370 1/2, down a half, last trade up 1. December, 357, down 1, last trade up 3/4. January soybeans open at 651, down 2 1/2, last trade up a half. July at 691 1/4, down 3/4, last trade up 4. November, 713, down 1 1/4, last trade up 1 1/2. January soybean meal opening at 186.70, up 10, last trade up 40. January soybean oil opened at 27.80, down 5, last trade unchanged. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. He is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Clayton.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Well, do we look for some more subdued trading between now and the Friday reports?
I would think things would kind of wind down here a little bit. We've been on such a tear here in both directions for the last couple weeks here. The volatility has been really high. A lot of people are putting a lot of importance on this report Friday morning, and I think we'll continue to be a real volatile market, but probably within a narrower range in the next couple of days. And I don't think a whole lot of new players probably stepping up to the plate. We kind of get a little bit of evening up here coming into that number.
And how much stock do you put in Friday's reports?
You've always got that potential for a big shocker, but if I had to bet, I guess my bias is that it won't be that big of a surprise or that big of a market reaction. I don't think we're really being governed by, the prices aren't really being dictated. Well, you could question whether being dictated by fundamentals at all, but I certainly don't think that old crop fundamentals are much of a factor here. So unless they, you lower this corn yield by, a bushel or more, something like that, which would surprise me if they did that much, I don't see this, and I'm talking about corn, I don't see this report as really being that, having that much of an impact.
Let's look at some particulars then. Begin with the wheat, where the index funds have been doing some reallocations this week.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think, that, where the true dynamics of the current market are, and that is in these fund numbers. I mean, those numbers from Monday afternoon were just really kind of mind-blowing and, absolutely unprecedented, real shock to the market. And I think we've only begun to see, sort of the effect from that. I would have to think that technically it's just putting really putting the longs behind the eight ball here, and it's going to be pretty hard to avoid some long liquidation here in the near future.
So March wheat, then you would anticipate breaking 447 to the downside?
I would think so. I mean, they've hammered the wheat awfully hard. Frankly, as far as the corn, beans, and wheat go in the short term, I'm probably less negative on the wheat than the corn and beans, simply because, I mean, wheat's like a dollar off its highs, and the corn and beans, whereas they've set back pretty well here, I mean, you know, they're still relatively close to their highs, especially the new crop months. So I would guess that you could have wheat hold relatively firmly against corn and beans here, you know, as far as the interrelationship goes. But I would kind of expect the level of water in the bathtub to kind of recede in general in the next few weeks, including all markets, but probably wheat the least of all from this point.
And very quickly, calls then this morning.
Calls, they're saying a half to one better corn, maybe one or two better in beans, and wheat just kind of calls mixed, probably a penny higher in the old crop and maybe a penny lower in the new.
Thank you very much, Clayton.
Okay, Dave. Thank you.
Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. He is in Champaign, Illinois. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. The time now is 9:01 Central Time.